And so obviously, if we require the same level of evidence that we've traditionally required for new cancer agents, including biologic therapies, generally large phase three randomized comparative trials, if we require that same level of evidence for these biosimilars, we won't meet our primary objective here, which is to provide competition and bring down drug costs for managing cancer patients and hopefully improving access to these agents in patients and populations where access is limited because of the cost issue. So we've tried to find, and the FDA struggled to find, a balance between enough evidence to provide reassurance that these drugs are highly similar, they're safe and efficacious for the indications that the original reference product was approved for, but not so much evidence that the cost of development and marketing will, if anything, drive prices up further and certainly not rein in prices. So, you know, in the last few years, the FDA has developed regulations. They have now approved biosimilars based largely on demonstrating analytic chemical similarity, the same amino acid sequence as the reference product. They have to be highly similar in terms of their PK and PD criteria. Animal studies are done. But when it comes to the clinical comparative studies, far more limited evidence is required. So we have what we call a reverse pyramid compared to the original reference biologic. Much more emphasis on the analytic and mechanisms of action, the animal preclinical work, and then some clinical work, particularly pharmacokinetic, pharmacodynamic, immunogenicity testing, make sure there's no unexpected immunogenicity issues, and then some limited comparative data, but it doesn't have to be large phase three trials. So the first agent's out.
Could I just interrupt you for a second before we go on? Because I'd like to then, you know, with that beginning, start to get into more depth about various specific agents and what kind of research was done.